What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Remember Country Music Podcast. As usual, I'm Kyle Corbos. I'm really excited. This is it's a new week. Today's Monday as of recording here, and you know what better way to start off the week than a new episode? That's how I like to look at it. But I get to hang out with Wynn Williams this week, and we're going to talk all about his new song and just all about him and his music journey. And I'm just really excited. Wynn, thanks for coming to hang out with me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, dude. Thank you very much for having me.
Of course.
Appreciate you reaching out.
Of course. It's funny. Your name is like the stage name of all stage names. It just flows. Tell me, well, I'm wrong.
We're still waiting to get on the big marquee at, you know, MGM and Madison Square Garden and all those places. So
I love it. I love it. Did you grow up with a lot of different, like, was there more than one Wynn? Like, is that a thing? Because like here we don't have that.
I did not meet another Wynn until I was in college.
Wow.
Until my junior year of college.
Did you go to college in Texas?
Yeah, yeah. So I went to Weatherford College in my hometown, a little junior college for a couple years. And then I transferred to Texas A&M and finished out my degree.
That's really cool. So like, it's funny because like, I feel like there are names that are regional, right? Like,
sure.
Like I don't know, besides you, I don't think I know another Wynn, right? And I don't know if I ever will unless I go to Texas, right? So there are certain names like I know Colt is really big in the South. We don't have, I didn't grow up with a Colt. My cousin, he lives in Tennessee. His name is Jackson. I didn't grow up with a Jackson. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like there are some names that are super regional. I don't know why that
gotcha.
Is.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. We got a lot of Mikes and Joes and Vinnies. We got a lot of Vinnies. That's
okay.
A big one, you know, Italian Northeast.
Hey, yeah. It makes sense. You know, it actually makes a lot of sense. We're starting to get those, I'm hoping it's past, but those crazy Southern names were like Jackson, for instance.
Sure.
It's like Jaxyn.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they like if you have a name that ends with a Y, they got to end it with E-I-G-H. So hopefully that trend is
long
behind
gone.
Us.
I love the ones that are I've only seen these within the last couple of years, like on Twitter or something. And like at first I thought it was a joke, but I actually think like it's semi-serious. Is like people name their kids after like Southern items, let's put it that way, like Stetson. Or like, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like things like that, which I find hilarious.
Yeah.
Or Ryder. Ryder's a big one, right?
Ryder is a big one. With a Y. Yeah. Ryder with a Y.
With a Y. with a Y.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. River. River's a big Southern name.
Yeah, it is. It is, man. It's, I think you're right. I think it could be regional.
But you know what? It's funny because I think it's cool. Like, I actually think it's cool. Like, I would name my son River. I would.
All right. You heard it here first, everybody.
You heard it here first. River Corbis, man. That's rolling. But all right, let's move on from that. But so let's kind of like dive into you a little bit. Like if someone here is listening for the first time, we're gonna dive into all about this new song because I love it. It's country as hell. I think it's awesome. But for someone who might be listening for the first time and may not know you or may know you and is just kind of trying to grow that fandom there, why don't you give them the quick version of a little bit about yourself and, you know, kind of why you are where you are and why you found yourself in music.
Yeah. So I grew up in Weatherford, Texas, and was pretty exposed to, you know, classic country and all sorts of, you know, all eras, I would say. The first thing I can remember, and my grandma would pick me up from elementary school, and the first country artist I listened to was John Denver. And
cool.
Then as I grew older and, you know, riding around in my dad's pickup, he always had a CD of like Glenn Campbell. He was a big Glenn Campbell fan. Jim Reeves, let's see, Don Williams. I mean, all the classic country stuff, like Merle Haggard and, you know, Waylon Jennings and all Willie, all those guys, they were playing on the radio station. But I really didn't get really, really into country music until probably I was like fifth or sixth grade. And that was the early 2000s. So we were hearing, like, you know, obviously Strait and Brooks and Dunn and Garth, and I was a huge Kenny Chesney fan, and I still am. Dude, you got the retro
Brooks. Come on, Dunn. Isn't that great?
That's awesome.
I felt like I need to put that on today. I'm not really sure why. Here we are.
Here we are today, man. Yeah, Kenny Chesney and Tim McGraw and, you know, all that early 2000s, late 90s stuff is really what I really gravitated towards. And then I got a little bit older and I really enjoyed singing. And then whenever I was in high school, I joined the choir, and I was in choir for 4 years. And went to college, went to Weatherford College, my JUCO, on a rodeo scholarship. And I was starting to learn how to play guitar and just singing around at rodeos and stuff like that. Cool. And then I was doing like little showcases, like little Opry shows as well, playing around town and like little restaurants and stuff. And then I transferred to Texas A&M and I started to play a little bit more, and then I started writing. And then my senior year rolls around and I start playing like that summer. And that's whenever I decided, okay, I think I want to try this out. I really enjoy doing this. I'm making, you know, decent money, is like $150 for a few hours or $200. But you
Which
know,
is a college kid. That's like,
dude, yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I was a funny story. Like, I was working at a bank, my senior year of college, and I was making $10 an hour, and I could only work 30 hours a week.
Yeah.
So after taxes, man, I was making like $250, $260, and I could go make that in 3 hours, yeah, singing a little show.
Right.
And anyway, so my senior year, I really started to like dig into it and start writing and recording and playing. And I graduated from A&M in 2016, December of 2016. And then in 2017, I put out my Words Fly EP. Mm-hmm. And that was a 6-song project, my very first project. And so I started playing around a lot. I started just doing that only. Sure. And man, it's something that I really fell in love with doing. I like learned how to do all my own graphic design. I learned how to like edit videos. Matter of fact, the Your Love video that just came out, I edited all
really?
Of that. Wow. Yeah, which is why it was pretty subpar. The footage was good, but the editing was not very
I wouldn't
good.
Have known. I really wouldn't have known. That's awesome.
So I just really like enjoy learning all the aspects of being like an independent artist, quote unquote. And so I've been doing it for, let's see, this will be my 7th year. Yeah. And then in 2020, of course, I put out my first full length record. Mm-hmm. Hell of a year to put out a debut album.
Sure.
Turned out to be a terrible time for that. But anyway, it was a 14 song project, put that out. And, you know, we've had a lot of success off of that record.
Yeah.
And then ever since then, we've just been putting out, trying to put out as much music as possible. It's always a slow process.
Yeah.
You know, from writing to recording to getting it out.
Yeah.
But we've tried to maintain, you know, that creativity, try to keep that flowing as much as we can. Yeah.
So. I think that's really important. And you know what? I'm going to backtrack a little bit because I found this super, super interesting. And it brings up a really good point of something I just thought about. Like you mentioned that you really enjoyed, honing in on all aspects of what an independent artist is, right? And I think that's super important because I think that there are so many people that just kind of dive in and say, okay, I'm really going to focus on writing in the artist factor because that's like the fun stuff, right? And everything else, like someone will do it. Like I'll find someone to do it, right? And you kind of know, but someone told me this once, and you know, this kind of brings up, this kind of loops into what you said, is that like not everything has to be your favorite, but it is important and it does go far to be able to do a little bit of everything, right? Like you might
sure.
be like, let's say there's four pillars of independent artistry, right? And it is no particular order, the artist and performing part, or let's do like the artist part with like recording the music, then the performing, the writing, and then everything else, all the media stuff, right? Like getting pumping your song out, promotion, social media, we'll put that all in one. You should be able to know how to do all of that so that if you have to, you can, right? I mean, yeah. Like, obviously there are things that probably trump other things, but it's really important to be able to know how to do all that. And I think it's cool that you actually focus on that and that's part of your package. And like, you are the whole package, and that's cool.
Yeah, man, it is super important. And it's kind of humbling too, because like, I learned how to do all that in 2017, 2018, 2019.
Right.
And we started to get a lot of traction. Well, then COVID hit and, you know, shit hit the fan.
Right.
And I'm back to booking my own shows. I've always done all my own graphic design. I've designed all my own merch. I mean, you have to be able to run your business.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be able to do that on your own. If you can't do that on your own, then you better get a really good team around you in a hurry. And, you know, I've got a great management team, and I've got a digital person that helps us out, but you know, I'm still in there every single day, coming up with the content and, you know, trying to put everything together, just on the back end, because all the stuff that you said, like the playing shows, the writing the songs, all that stuff is like 10% of what it is.
Right.
It's everything else is behind the scenes. You never see all the other stuff that artists are putting in.
Yeah.
And, you know, if somebody has a team doing that for them and they have the money to do that for them, man, that's awesome. I wish I had the money to pay somebody else to do it. Trust
eventually,
me.
Eventually you will.
But you know what? As a young artist, it was like, I don't have that money. I'm not able to do that. I don't have those resources. So you just got to start to learn everything you possibly can. And I try to encourage young artists whenever they ask me, like, how do I get started? Man, learn how to do everything on your own.
Right.
And I have this mantra, man, nobody's going to work harder for you than you. And that is the truth. So
that's right. I agree.
Kind of live by that.
I think that's really important. And you know what? It's like, there are so many aspects to this, like we're saying, there's so many aspects. That's not just putting out the songs and like writing the music, right? Like, you need a way to take that deep. Like that train can stop, but there are things like social media promotion and merch, right? Like, I have your merch pulled up right now. If your designs are like, okay, like, no one's going to buy it, but if they're cool, like this, like the one I'm looking at right now, like, this particular one, this gray t-shirt with the charcoal t-shirt with like the plate, right? That's got the, I think like that has a bull on there, and like the Texas one, like that's eye catching. Like, that stuff takes you farther, right? Like, 'cause then people are going to come to your show and go, oh, you know what? You know, $25, that's cool. Support the artist. Bang. Where's the shirt? Who's that? You know what I mean? It's all like a constant train. And if you don't have that, and it, you know, it's okay to have other people who have that influence for you, but it helps even more if you have that like creative eye where you can say, you know what, I want that on a t-shirt, or I want that to look this way, or I want that to be posted this way. I think that's important. So I think it's cool that you do all that yourself. Yeah. And that, you know, in my opinion, if that was me, and if I'm listening now and didn't know anything about you, I think that that's really cool that you do that stuff yourself, and that, you know, you have influence as well, but you focus on that. You don't just delegate that to someone else. I think that's awesome. So good on you. You talked about being in the choir, right? And starting kind of in that realm there, but you kind of always loved country music. And this is something that's really interesting, because obviously there's a ton of people that have said they've started in their church choir or school choir or whatever it may be. And it's always kind of one of these things for me where it's like, okay, they're not the same, but for some reason, you know, this kid from Texas loves singing in the choir, but he loves singing country songs, right? Like, where's the middle ground there? Like, why do those correlate so much with people? And why not? Like, basically what I'm getting at is like, you could probably accomplish the same amount if you're just playing in your bedroom for 10 years and then eventually want to be a country singer. But why do so many people go the choir route and then kind of figure it out that they want to like go out and do music? Like, where's the middle ground there? Do you know?
Man, I don't know. I think probably because it's easily accessible. Mm-hmm. You know, you also have a group of people that are doing it, and it's easy to, you know, step into that. Well, easier said than done. Sometimes to step into that group of people and they, you know, they're like-minded and they want to achieve kind of the same things that you do just in your vocal performance or whatever. You know, I just, whenever I would join choir, I just was like, oh man, I really enjoy singing. So me and a buddy, me and my buddy Brandon, we joined choir and in our ninth grade year, our freshman year. And, we just loved it so much. We loved being a part of that group. We loved the teacher, our director. I don't know, man. It's interesting. I think it's probably because it's just so accessible and like you can just kind of step into that. You know, if you're sitting in your bedroom maybe for 10 years or whatever trying to do it, you know, you may not have the same result. It's funny, I was just listening to the Joe Rogan podcast, and Luke Combs did an episode on there, and he was also in choir. And I think you're right. I think there's a bunch of people that kind of start there and then they kind of figure out who they are and where they want to go. And, you know, and there's a lot of people that were in choir that, you know, didn't pursue music and that's cool too. But I just loved singing so much. I loved performing so much that, you know, something that I just saw myself doing more and more of. And I was fortunate enough to figure out how to monetize that and make a living doing it.
Right.
So yeah, man, I would say just like the ease of accessibility,
sure,
to be a part of a group that, you know, all enjoy singing and two is like beautiful music.
Right.
You know, my high school choir group was an a cappella group. And, you know, whenever you have all those vocal parts, I grew up as a Church of Christ Christian, and it's all a cappella. And, you know, you have your bass, your tenor, your soprano, your alto. And when everybody's singing all their parts, it's just such a beautiful, moving piece of music. Yeah. And, you know, that's something that I really enjoy. I really, really enjoyed that. And whenever I sing, sometimes I get in trouble whenever I'm recording, because I've had two different producers now tell me that I like not oversing, but I enunciate, like it's sure. kind of, it's more like a little bit more choral,
right?
Than it is country. And
that's the choir. Like,
they're like, man, they're like, can you just as much, or can you just not like sing
yeah.
as clear? Can you just be a little bit more country? And I'm like, man, this is just how I sing.
Yeah. I love it. That's so funny.
It's kind of funny.
I kind of agree with you, just to circle back for 2 seconds, that I think that a lot of it has to do with, but the correlation, a lot of it has to do with maybe the organization of it, like it is there for, it is accessible for people. I also think a lot of it, after hearing you talk about it, has a lot to do with like the performance aspect of things. Like if you're Luke Combs or if you're Wynn Williams, right? Like you can sing in your bedroom as long and as loud and as much as you want, and like maybe never sing for anyone else. Your mom's always going to tell you you're great, but until you're in that organized setting, like you don't really know like how good you are, because you don't know other people that are singing, right? Like you're of your age, right? Like your buddy Brandon, I don't know if he's a great singer or not, right? But like if he was better or worse than you, you would know when you're singing choir with him, right? And you can kind of gauge it from there. So I think that's important for a lot of kids. Like it's kind of like being an athlete, right? Like you could be the best baseball player ever, but if you never get out on that field, you don't really know how good or how shitty you are. Like, you know what I mean? So,
sure. Yeah. 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 And too, like you can get better. If you're in that group setting and like people are supportive and you have a great, you know, teacher, You know, you have the opportunity to get better. Whereas if you're sitting in your bedroom,
you might not, because you won't push the limits.
Who are you going to talk to? You know, right. Who are you going to ask questions to? Who are you going to, you know, go study with or whatever?
I agree. Yeah. So the acapella thing is interesting, because I actually really, when I was in like middle school, I got really into like the whole acapella thing. I can't sing a lick, I promise you. Like I would change so much in my life if I could sing. I'm not kidding. Like, that is about the only thing that I would trade anything for. And, but I can't. And I love singing. Like, I'm really bad at it, but I do it in my car, right? When no one's around, like, I love it. But, I got really into that because I don't know, for some reason, it was just the sounds. It was like the ability to make this, reimagine an entire song, but just all with voice. I thought it was really cool. Yep. And there was this, I don't know if you remember this, but there was this show on NBC called The Sing Off, like at least 10 to 15 years ago at this point. And it was like American Idol, but all acapella groups. So like there was like some college groups in there. Actually, my cousin was in an acapella group. He went to the University of Dartmouth, and it's like kind of a well-known acapella group, and they were on that show. There was a bunch of people on the show, and it was like really cool to see all of these groups like reimagine all these songs. There was a group, I can't remember their name, but they basically just sung country songs, and it was all acapella. I thought it was the coolest thing. I don't know what it is, but you're right. I think it's like, I think it's taking the beauty of music and just stripping it down completely and only using this central thing that I think is really cool.
Yeah. No, it's very, very cool.
Yeah. It's if you can do it, like I knew buddies in college who joined our, you know, we had a couple of acapella groups around campus and they joined them and you know, I every once in a while I'd go catch their performances and stuff. It's really impressive. It really is to be able to not get distracted. Like that's what I think about. Like, how do I not listen to the other person and lose it? Right. I don't know.
But, yeah.
So I don't know. I can never do it, but I think it's really cool that that's a whole part of thing. And that's something you enjoy. I don't know if I've ever heard that. I think that's really awesome. So, as we know, like you are based out of Texas and you've been playing, you know, these areas in Texas, you know, for a while now. And, what is, cause I talk to a lot of people that have done Texas, that have done the Texas scene, you know, like everyone from someone just starting, right? Like I know a guy from here actually who's moving to Texas because he really got into music, and instead of moving to Tennessee, he wants to go to Texas because he wants to perform. Like that is what he wants to do. And he knows that he can do that at a higher level than going in and playing in some of these, you know, like smaller bars in a Nashville, you know, Knoxville type area. So, which I think is really cool. 20-year-old kid, go ahead. Texas all the way, right? So what are some things that you've learned doing that circuit for the last 7 years or so? And I'm sure like you've been humbled here and you've been humbled there. And I'm sure that there are a lot of moments where you're like, this is awesome. Like what are some of these things that you've learned over the past few years playing this whole circuit that we call Texas that might be great and that might not be so great? Like I'm sure there's so much going on there.
Well, I always tell people the best part, really and truly, the best part for me is seeing the same people over and over again, at whatever market you're at. You know, you'll have people that'll come up from San Antonio to come see you in Dallas, Fort Worth. we've got some friends of ours now that, you know, they saw us play, I don't know, in like 2018, 2019, something like that. I think it's 2019, and through the years, they've just like come out to a ton of shows.
Yeah,
and they came up to a show in Nebraska.
Wow,
to come see us play, and now they're working for me.
Really?
It's like great. It's like such a crazy story. Like Heather and Darius. Heather sells our merch, and Darius is like basically our stage manager.
Wow,
and It's really funny, like how everything plays out, but the people, man, like you see all these people all over the place and they just like genuinely care about you as a person and your career. And, you know, like your personal life.
Yeah.
People will always ask, like, how's Hannah? How's your wife? You know, how are things? And people genuinely care about that, especially down here. But again, like you said, your buddy that's coming down here, he wants to perform, and there are opportunities every single day of the week to perform. If that's what he wants to do, then he's coming to a good spot to do it, because he can pick up a show pretty much anywhere. He just has to be willing to work for that spot. And you know, there's a lot of cool places to play. My favorite place in Texas, I'll give you my top two.
Sure.
Texas Live in Arlington. Mm-hmm. It's actually a newer, modern venue. It's right next to the ballparks, the stadiums,
cool.
For the Rangers and the Cowboys. And that place is amazing. The hospitality is great. The people are amazing. The stage, the setup, everything is like first class. It's just an amazing place to play. But my second favorite place is a place called John T. Floor's Country Store. And it is down in San Antonio, Texas. And it is an old dance hall.
Cool.
And, you know, it's wooden walls and, a super low ceiling that's like, you can almost touch it when you're just standing there. again, the people are amazing. Hospitality is great. The production's always first class. It's just, they run a tight ship and they run a great operation. And if you combine that with a cool atmosphere, then I'm going to love playing there. That's for sure. But I think it's just, man, the people are the coolest part. If I were to give you a disadvantage of playing down here, it's that, everything's a long distance, like a physical distance away from one another. So you could play, you could play Fort Worth, but then you could play San Antonio the next night and you have to drive 5 hours.
Yeah.
So,
crazy.
And when you're small and you're doing that, during the day in a van,
it's a lot.
Let's say you finish your show in Fort Worth at 2 a.m. or you finish loading up out at 2 a.m. Well, then you go get to sleep and you got to drive to San Antonio and your load in is at 2 p.m. or 3 p.m.
Right.
Well, you got 5 hours to drive. So you got to wake up
at
8 a.m., get on the road, drive all the way down there. You're beat from the night before.
Yeah.
You're beat from the drive. And then you got to stay up until 2 or 3 in the morning again just to load out.
That's crazy.
It's like,
that's crazy.
But when you're big and you're on a bus, like,
it's easy. Someone drives the bus, you can sleep in the back.
They drive through the night. So they finish it at 2 a.m. They go hop in the bus, they get in their bunk, they go to sleep, they drive through the night, they wake up in the next town, they go shower. Yeah. If they want to take a nap before load in, it's all good.
Yeah.
If they want to take a nap between load in and showtime, they can. It's
crazy.
It's pretty nice to have that. But yeah, man, whenever you're hustling and you're doing the van and trailer thing, or shoot, I remember starting in, two trucks and a trailer.
That's crazy.
That would be the biggest thing that I think about nowadays, especially now that I'm married and, during COVID, I got really used to staying at home and spending time with my wife and, leaving every weekend. And I was telling my Heather and Darius, our merch girl and stage manager, I was like, man, every time I get to a show, I'm so excited. But whenever I think about having to drive to the show, I'm like, oh shit, man, I got to drive.
Yeah. That's like the biggest part, right? But I think it's cool. Like it's cool to look back on those things and as tough as probably the two trucks and the trailer were at that point, it's like, all right, well now you're in a van. Like, that's cool. Like, that's the next step, right? Like, it's cool to look back on those things and realize the stepping stones and where you started and where you're going. I think that that's always really important to recognize, even if it's not your end goal, right? Like,
it's cool
to recognize the checkpoints.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to, man, like, to keep your head up. Like right now I'm going through this transitional phase again, where I'm booking myself and we're trying to figure out how to put out music and what's like the right way to do things. And there is no right way, but you know, it's very easy to get discouraged. And I struggle with that. I struggle with that pretty much every day. I'm like, man, what do we do? How can we do this? And, but you do, you have to like look back and say, okay, you know, 3 years ago, I was playing 3-4 hour sets in the corner of a bar and I had to bring my own sound and I was getting paid, you know, next to nothing. And I don't have to do that anymore. And I'm thankful that I did it. I'm thankful that I did it.
You know how to
I
do
know
it.
That I know how to do it, but I know that if I continue to work hard, then I don't have to go back to doing the 3-4 hour thing. I can continue to do what I enjoy, which is playing, you know, an hour show for a couple hundred folks and, you know, maybe a 90-minute show if we're headlining.
Right.
So, you know, it's, you definitely have to put things into perspective and kind of look back over your shoulder and say, I've done a lot.
Yep. I think that that's right. And I think that mentality will take you so far because it's like, it's important not to look back. It's important to look forward, but it's also important to realize where you've been. So I think that it's, you know, it's always really cool when you have guys like you that are like, hey, like a few years ago, I was doing this, but now I'm doing this. And it's like, you know, there are some people that might be like, yeah, but it means nothing if I don't have X, right? Like if I don't have this big thing. But again, the fact that you recognize and highlight how important it is that you don't have to set up your own sound, right? And then you don't have to play the 4 hour set where like, you know, maybe a quarter of the people are actually listening. Like, that's so cool. That's so cool that you kind of got that little spotlight around you. So, you know, keep at it. I think what you said is great. Is like the hardest working person is for you is going to be you. And that's obviously very apparent. So, you know, keep doing that, but, let's circle into this song here. As you said, you've released a couple of projects over the last, you know, few years or so. And you just recently put out a new single, called Your Love. It just came out. I want to say as of recording, I think it was 2 weeks ago. My weeks are getting jumbled, but I think we're kind of in there.
I think so, you're right.
I think so. Right. I think I'm close. And then as people are listening to this, it might be 3 weeks, but we'll, you know, it's out now is what I'm saying. So go listen to it.
There we go.
Talk about the song a little bit. This is your first song of 2023. Is this going to lead into other things? Talk about kind of where the song came from, why this one now, and what this one might lead to going forward.
Yeah. So we recorded a bunch of songs, 7 songs, back in, believe it or not, 2021. And, Trent Willman produced that nice project. And, we recorded 7 songs, 2 of which were Long Gone and Down in Mexico, nice, which came out in, 2021. What's 2021? Yes,
I've been here a long, I can tell you.
And we released Long Gone and Mexico in that summer. And then we also recorded 5 other songs. And we were figuring out like how we wanted to release those, if we wanted to do an album or an EP or just do singles. Well, then we kind of came up with this concept that we would do a series of singles. And we arranged them in a way that would tell a story about, you know, losing love and then finding something that was, you know, obviously meant for you.
Right.
So we started with Like the Wind, which is about, you know, losing somebody that you really cared about. And then we went to I Love Purple Leaving, which is about finding something else.
That's really cool.
That is so much better. Something that was meant for you. And you're like, okay, I love her for leaving because it led me here to this.
Yeah.
And then we have Your Love that just came out, which is about being on the road all the time. Like I miss hanging out with that person that I love so much. And then we have a song called All Over Me, which is going to come out soon. I don't have a time for you yet, but it'll definitely be within the next few months.
Cool.
I'll say that. And that's about just being like all over me. It's like, it's so in love that you just can't get enough of each other.
Right.
And then we have a song called Like She Does. And that song is about, the first line of the song is, there's a ring on the finger of the woman that I call mine. So it's about you know, getting married to that person that, that this whole story has laid out in front of you.
Yeah.
And we came up with this concept to do music videos for all of them. So it, like, if you watch them together, they all kind of make sense.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of what we're in the process of doing right now. And with Your Love, let's see, Your Love Down in Mexico, Like She Does, and I think one more, were all written during COVID, like over FaceTime, over Zoom.
Yeah.
Your Love specifically, I wrote it with a guy named Bryce Long, and I love Bryce, man. He's such a cool guy. He's from Kentucky, but he's been in Nashville for many, many years. He started out trying to be an artist and then got a deal, and then, you know, luck should have it that he would make a better living writing songs.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of it, you know, luck and timing and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, he started writing and he became very successful. He's written a bunch of John Party stuff that you've heard. He wrote Nothing On But the Radio by Gary Allen. He wrote Like a Cowboy by Randy Houser. I mean, a ton of hit songs. And, you know, he is generous enough. He doesn't need the practice, but he's generous enough to spend a couple hours with me ever so often. And typically we'll write a pretty good song, something that I'm really proud of. And he just always has like the cool, I tell everybody, like, Bryce has the coolest melodies.
Yeah.
And the way that, like, the way he just comes up with stuff that quick, it's so amazing watching him work. And I'm blessed to be able to write with Bryce. But we wrote Your Love over Zoom, and it doesn't matter whose idea it was, but I think I brought the idea to him. You know, for all you young guys watching, it's like, you really need to bring the ideas to the table whenever you're writing with guys like that, because, you know, they've got ideas, but again, they don't need to write with you. Like, they don't need the practice. They can call up whoever they want and go write with whoever they want. So, having your own ideas is pretty important.
Sure.
But anyway, we wrote that over Zoom, man. And, he came up with this cool, like, old school 90s retro melody and just started playing the guitar. And I was like, okay, that's really, really cool.
Yeah.
And, he came up with that first line, seven lonely lights sure makes one weak. And it's like a play on words. So yeah, man, we wrote that song and we just put it out like a couple weeks ago, just put out a music video, last Friday again that I edited, which is pretty sweet.
That's right.
It's not a very good editing job.
That's not true. Hey, I think it looks great. I
check it out on YouTube, everybody, and give me a thumbs up.
That's right. I think it looks great. I don't know. I like it. I'm not sitting here. I'm not a great editor either. And I think that it looks awesome. So good job. I think it's awesome. There's two points I want to hit here, and that made mention as you were going through. One of them, what you said about going to, and this is coming from a guy, take my advice, or take what I say with a grain of salt, because I don't do it. I can't do it. I will never do it. But I've been doing this for a pretty decent amount of time. I've talked to a bunch of people. I think eventually your ideas kind of go through your head and you make your own opinions. But when it comes to writing with big names like Bryce, right? You know, like all those songs, like everything. And I appreciate that you played out and you said what he's put out, because I mean, I know it. I know that. Right. But like, the person listening probably doesn't. So I like when people accredit their writers to what they've done and that you think that he's cool and that he is cool and that he's done all these things. I think that I really appreciate that. So because I don't like to sit here and say, well, he did this, he did that, he did this, because it's like me telling you, you know that, right? So but what I think is important is that you said, you know, go into a room with an idea. And I've heard this a couple of times, and I'm sure you have too, that when people write with guys like that, it's always, it's great to go into a room when you know that the person across from you is better than you, because you only can get a better idea. You can only help yourself. And if you are the best in the room, you're basically doing yourself a little bit of a disservice. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but every once in a while, you need someone to push your boundaries, right? You need someone to come up with a better melody or something that'll just kind of make your brain work a little bit more. And to go into the room with an idea and have that person tweak your idea or accept other ideas or kind of just make it all one big puzzle. I think it's incredibly important for any young songwriter that, you know, is 21 and it just wants to write country songs, right? Like, I think that's so important. So I like that you said that. I appreciate that. I think that that's great.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's really important, man. I mean, you got to, and have a few ideas because,
right,
you know, one idea is typically not going to cut it, you know. Sure.
Because he can shut down that one idea unless it's the perfect idea.
I don't really like that idea. I don't feel like writing that idea today. And that happens, you know, that happens all the time. So having a handful that you can pull from is a good idea. And you have to think about it, like they're investing their time. If you go into a business meeting and you're trying to present somebody with a business opportunity, and let's say you're trying to get money from them, let's say you want them to make an investment into your business. Well, you got to sell yourself to them. They don't need you. They can figure out other ways to make money, but, and that's kind of how you have to think about the writing thing, not in terms of money, but in terms of time. Again, these guys do not need, they don't need the practice.
Right.
And, I think it's really important to be mindful that they're generous enough to give you their time.
And that's their time is the most valuable thing.
So, absolutely. Yeah. That's everybody's most valuable thing is time. That's one thing money can't buy.
Right.
So, you know, spending your time doing something that you enjoy and being mindful of what other people, how much time other people are spending on you is really important throughout life, throughout everything.
I agree. Totally agree. I think that's great. Yeah. This is kind of how I want to wrap this up is that this thing that I think you're doing with these singles is ridiculously cool, because I think that, you know, you could have taken 7 songs and put them on an EP and you could have had them go like this, right? But, you know, track 5 could have gotten lost in the whirlwind there just by nature, because we all can't be Luke Combs from Star, right? Like, and even Luke Combs songs get lost in the middle, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, so like, I really appreciate that you had this story lined up that you started, and you're just going to go in increments and put them out. Because I think at the end of the day, it's going to be really cool if someone listens to Like the Wind and then goes ahead and then listens to I Love Her for Leaving and then Your Love and then goes, wait, is there a correlation there? Like, I think that is so cool. And someone asked me the other day, a couple weeks ago, when I said, this person said, like, what are you listening to? And I said, this is a project that I really like recently. Listen to it. And then I said, but do me a favor and listen to it. Like, give yourself an hour and change and listen to it from 1 to whatever the last song was. And he was like, do people really focus on where they put their songs? I was like, yeah, they still focus on where they put their songs. I promise you, like, do it. So I think it's really cool that you're releasing these singles and that they're all telling a different story that is kind of looping into this one big story. I think it's really cool. I just wanted to get that off my chest. Nice job.
Yeah, man. Well, thank you. It's just something that we're trying out. You know, there's no right way to do something. There's no formula. I think right now with this digital age, everybody's just trying to figure out, you know, how to differentiate themselves and how to put stuff out so you can get the most traction. And, you know, that's something that we're experimenting with. I know that even major label acts are experimenting with some of that stuff. You know, it's like, do you put out the full album? Do you put out an EP or 2 EPs or 3 EPs or singles? And right now we're seeing major label acts put out albums and even like double albums and songs with, you know, a ton of songs. And it's like, man, for a guy like me that doesn't have a massive team of writers, doesn't have a publishing deal, doesn't, you know, write all the time, that's not achievable. Like, I can't go put out a 24 song album because for 1, I don't have the songs, and 2, I can't afford to record a 24.
Not many album. Can, not many can,
all that kind of stuff. So it's definitely a lot of different variables that go into, that go into the music business. And you really have to like, just figure out what works for you and try it out. And if it doesn't, you know, adapt and change and do something else and see if that works. And then it's a lot of trial by fire.
Yeah.
These days, you know, you're just
And you know what I think is like, what I think is really cool about that is like, what, like you said, we've seen everyone from a new artist to a major label artist, anywhere in between, putting out albums or EPs or sing. Like, it's the best part is that no two person is the same. It's all just kind of based on the person. And like, I'll use this example, right? You know, for the last like 4 or 5 years or so, a guy like Craig Campbell, who is big name, right, put out a ton of singles in the last like few years, and then just recently put out a record. Craig could have put those songs on a record. Totally. He doesn't, right? Like, but he didn't. He put them out as singles, and a couple of them are on the record, and most of them aren't. He just released them as singles. So I don't think it's like, there's no science and there's no perfect formula for anyone. I think it's just, if it works for you, it works for you. And if you can put out a record and you want to put out a record, put out a record. But if you think that your story can get, your story can be heard through 5 to 7 singles that, you know, kind of tell this one overarching story, that maybe you'll put out an EP once they're all out, right? It's cool too. So I can't tell you that 3 years ago I agreed with that, but I do now. And I think that's really important. That's based on the person. It's based on the artist, and no one is the same. Although I would like to say this, that I do think that it would take a lot of nuts, and I want to see someone do this. Take a full album, whatever, 12, 16 songs, and just drop it. Nothing out there. Just let it go and see what happens. I want, like, all at once, never listen to any of them. Go for it. It's going to take a lot of nuts. It's going to have to take the right person, but it'd be cool.
Yeah, I think if you've got, you know,
a hell of a lot of money.
Okay. Well, not just that, but like, I think if you're in a position, like, let's use Morgan Wallen, for example.
Sure.
If Morgan Wallen decided, I'm going to put out an album, I'm not going to do any promotion, it's going to be a surprise, I'm not going to do anything beforehand, it's going to drop on a Friday, and I'm going to tell everybody it's out today. That's it. I think a guy like that,
it'll be number one by Saturday.
Could do it.
Yeah.
I think a guy like that could do it. But for a guy like me, be a massive waste of time and money, because it costs so much, and right, because you spend so much time thinking of the ideas, writing the songs, pre-production, recording,
right,
post-production, artwork, photo shoots, everything about it. There's so much time and money and resources invested.
Right.
It would be like, whoa.
Yeah, it would be ridiculous.
But for a guy like Morgan Wallen, and I think probably Parker McCollum is getting to that point where he could probably do like a surprise album, and then everybody's talking about it.
Sure.
Or Luke Combs, or sure, you know, somebody with a lot of notoriety.
Well, I think it's because like a lot of these guys' fans, like there are people, like, you know, I really love Parker, actually. I really do enjoy Parker McCollum's music, and I think a lot of people do. But, you know, like, I like Morgan Wallen's music. Like, I listen to it, but I don't, like, drool over the guy, right? Like, I don't freak out over him. But there are a lot of people who do, which is why he would just explode like that if he was to do that, yeah, which is why he would do that, right? Like, there is
so
many
rabid
people,
fan bases.
Yeah, and, like, guys like that that have fan bases like that, nothing they ever put out to their fan bases is bad, right? Like, it's always like the greatest thing ever. Meanwhile, on this last record for Wallen, I can pick out probably half the songs that I don't love, but I think it's a good record. But I mean, like, you know, I don't think everything on that record is awesome. So I don't know. I agree with you though. I think that it takes a certain type of person. I just think it'd be funny to see. It would be interesting to see in a world where a lot of people are taking risks. I think it'd be very interesting. So who knows if we'll ever get it, but it is cool. Dude, thanks for coming to hang out with me. I appreciate it. Your music is awesome, and you have a great head on your shoulders, and the way you approach music, I think is for a lot of people who are, you know, listening, that maybe a young artist or a young writer, it's very inspiring, and they should take notes. I think it's really cool. So thank you for coming to hang out with me. Thanks for telling your story, and, you know, I'm excited to see what these next songs coming up have to say, and what this whole little project will do for you. So thanks for coming to hang. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Kyle.
Everybody, you can go follow Wynn on Instagram at Wynn Williams, all one word, WYNN Williams. And you can stay up to date with new music and music videos and shows and all that good stuff. And if you want to go to his website and look at, if you're in the Texas area and you want to look at what he's got coming up and where he's going to play, it's WynnWilliams.com. And you can get merch there and do all that good stuff. So everybody go follow him, go share his stuff, go listen to his music. He's awesome. And I'm really excited to see what's in store for him. But thank you for tuning into another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars if you love the episode, and follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast. New episodes come out every Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, wherever you listen to pods, Apple Pods, Spotify, iHeartRadio, it's all there. Like I said, that was another episode of the RCM Podcast. I'm Kyle. That's Wynn. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.